Let us prepare our hearts and minds to hear God's word as we pray. Breath of life, breathe on us. Open our eyes to see your presence in your word and in your world. Open our ears so that we might hear your voice calling us closer to you. Soften our hearts so that we respond to the invitation you gave for us today. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 104, verses 27 through 35, and you'll find it in your Pew Bibles on page 941 through 942. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, you die and return to dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise to the Lord, my soul. Praise to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Am I on? I am. Good. Let's just take a moment and just be still together to become present here in this place. God, as we are quiet, help us to be attentive to our breathing, to notice as we breathe in and as we breathe out that you are the one who fills our lungs. You are the God who turns dust into living being, us. Help us to be here. Amen. Well, last week, my 7-year-old daughter woke up in a panic on a Wednesday. She was convinced that she had overslept and had missed the bus because the sky was lighter than she was used to. And she's normally used to getting on the bus and actually arriving at school still in the dark. Her school starts at 7:45 in the morning. And so it didn't matter how much we reassured her. No, don't worry, you're on time, everything's fine. This is how it works here. We have this increase of light throughout the rest of spring, and we have started that process. It didn't matter. We could not convince her until she arrived at the bus stop and the other kids were there, and she was able to get on. Well, in the liturgical calendar, following Christmas, we celebrate Epiphany, which is what we've just come out of. Epiphany is the season when we emphasize the light of Christ, shining for all the world to see, God's glory made manifest in the person of Jesus Christ, the child born to redeem the world. The great emphasis during the season of Epiphany is light. It's why our backdrop for all those weeks was a big, bright star. Today marks the beginning of the season of Lent. The word Lent means length, to mark the lengthening of days as we move from the deep of winter into the longer, brighter, more colorful days of spring. Author of Living the Christian Year, Bobby Gross, describes it so well when he says, "During Lent, we continue to walk with Jesus, but our attention shifts from the light to the shadows. Jesus's increasingly hostile opponents, his growing heaviness of spirit, and his ominous talk of betrayal and death. With the disciples, we grow uneasy, almost appalled. Human sin, corrupt powers, even raw evil comes into view." During Lent, we have two choices. We can continue moving through our days as though it's just another ordinary day. Or we can accept the invitation to gaze upon the shadows. We can choose for the next 40 days to turn our attention from what is shining bright to the shadowy places. 40, a holy number that represents a time of temptation, trial, and eventually triumph. We can keep focusing on the lengthening or the brightening of the days, or we can look within at our own shadows, acknowledging the very things that separate us from Creator God: our sin, our frailty, and our finiteness. We can put our heads down, and we can keep living our days as we always have, maybe a bit distracted, maybe focused on our to-do list with all the things that we have to get done, comfortable in our daily routines, or we can welcome the transformative power of the one who calls forth life from mere dust and allow ourselves to be changed. So today, Ash Wednesday, is a day we set aside to let our gaze linger on the shadows, to pay attention to what hides in the dust and ash of our lives. We are here to acknowledge that all is not as it should be in us, and all is not as it should be in the world. We need the breath of God to fill our lungs so that we might truly live once again. So we will be spending the next 7 weeks together, noticing what God can do with dust and breath. Our culture does not do a good job at paying attention to dust. We like to shove it aside. We don't like to look at ashes for very long. We're prone to look for the silver lining or the bright side of things, or put a bow on every package that's offered to us. And sometimes we are offered a package that we never wanted, and we still try to put a bow on it. So let's agree together, church, that we're not going to do that for the next 40 days. Let's allow Jesus to sit with us in the dirt, in the ashes, rather than shoving the discomfort aside or looking away when we are confronted with our own frailty, with our own wretchedness. Let's pause. Let's notice. And let's hand the shame that starts welling up inside of us to the only one who can make beauty from ashes, the only one who can call forth life from dust. Let's agree to hold off on singing the Alleluias. That's a hard one for 7 weeks, but that's what the Lenten journey invites us to. We have not arrived at the cross of Easter yet, the empty cross. We are making our way there. So let's agree to not sing those Alleluias. Let's remember who we are, mere dust, and more importantly, whose we are, loved into life. We will walk the road to Calvary with Jesus, looking at 7 different scripture passages that reveal what God can do with dust. So I want to invite you now to listen as God's word illuminates our own shadows. So let's prayerfully listen to the words of God's scripture and maybe ask, what do I need to pay attention to in this scripture? So our reading is from Genesis 2, 4 through 7. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up and the earth from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. This is the word of the Lord. We can take that down for right now. I don't want that to distract yet. That's coming. This is the word of the Lord. Did we say that? There it is. Okay. We remember the sacredness of God's word, so we want to make sure we acknowledge it. God's word is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. So we say those words every time, not because it's just what we're used to saying, but because we're acknowledging that there is something that God might want to say to us in the text. Well, most of us are pretty familiar with Genesis 1, you know, the start, in the beginning, God. And it moves through an orderly account of creation, starting with day one and going all the way through to day seven. And if you read on, you'll notice that a similar but slightly different version of the creation account happens in Genesis 2 and 3. Genesis 1 highlights the goodness of creation. It's poetic. It follows a pattern.
Technical difficulties, no audio.
Later on in that same verse, we are told the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. Dust in Hebrew is the word adama, same root word. So what differentiates humans from dust on the ground? Genesis 2 makes that pretty clear. The only difference is the breath of God. In Genesis 1, humans are made in the image and the likeness of God, and all is peaceful. In Genesis 2 and 3, when human beings begin to act like God, conflict arises. And the Trinity becomes concerned that Adam has become like one of us. So why does this matter, and what does it have anything to do with Ash Wednesday? The truth of the human condition is that we are like God in many ways, made in the loving and creative image of the triune God. The story written for us from the beginning of time was a Genesis 1 story. However, because we continued again and again and again to try to become God, we now live in a Genesis 2 and 3 reality. Our finitude is punctuated by the fact that we will return to the dust that we came from. I often fondly recall with my son his very first sentence, which was, "I do it." Probably a similar sentence for many of us. But the truth is, the motivation that drove that phrase, "I do it," has been driving all of us since the beginning of time. I do it. I do it. And so today we are invited to remember where we came from and who gave us life. We were made in the image of God, but we are not God. We could not handle such a responsibility. And so today, we proclaim, from dust we came. And then the breath of God enlivened us. But because of sin, to dust we will return. We are going to take some time. I'm just going to give you a moment. And you'll notice for the next 7 weeks that there will be 15 minutes before the start of every worship service, we will create a space of silent contemplation in the sanctuary. So you are invited to come in and just sit quietly. So if you would love to connect with people that you want to talk with, that the foyer or the space back there where we have coffee, those are great places for that. But moving forward in this holy season, this will be a space where we just get to be quiet and reflect. And we will have something up on the screen each time you come. So if you prefer to read a poem instead of just sit silently, then you'll be invited to do that. So we put a poem up on the screen today. And if you did not arrive early and weren't able to see it, I specifically wanted to make sure that we wove it into our service. This is a poem written by, she's a Methodist minister, and her name is Jan Richardson, and she has a number of books, but this particular book is called Circle of Grace, and it's poem after poem after poem going through the liturgical calendar. So it's really just beautifully invites you to become present in the season that we're in. So she has a number of blessings for the holy season of leading up to Easter. So we're going to be able to enjoy some of hers. So I want to read you the poem. It will also be up on the screen if you're a visual learner. So if you would prefer just to listen, I'll read it to you. If you prefer to look, if you can see, it's very small font. Maybe you are just going to be listening. It's called The Way That Ashes Know, a blessing for Ash Wednesday. So let the ashes come as beginning and not as end. The first sign, but not the final. Let them rest upon you as invocation and invitation. And then let them take you the way that ashes know to go. May they mark you with the memory of fire and of the life that came before the burning, the life that rises and returns and finds its way again. See what shimmers amid their darkness, what endures within their dust. See how they draw us toward the mystery that will consume but not destroy, that will blossom from the blazing, that will scorch us with its joy. In just a moment, you will be invited to come forward and receive the imposition of ashes. Put it in the form of a cross, because we remember why we no longer are bound to the sin that we carry. Ash Wednesday is a time when we remember the thing that separates us from God. We eventually return to ash. We are not God. You will also be invited to a time of just repentance. This is your opportunity to hold your hands open before the God of love, who breathed life into you and loves you so dearly. To bring the things that we hold that cause shame, maybe that keep you from wanting to spend extended time with God, and to offer them in confession. You will also be handed a nail. I know we're not at Easter yet, but the invitation is that you will carry that nail in your pocket for the next 40 days. And if it pokes you when it's in your pocket, might that be your reminder to bring again the sin that we have before the loving God and confess. So the ashes are to remember who we are in light of who God is and to confess. And the nail is for you to take home to remember to keep coming to God when there's stuff that you think you might be backing away from God, because he certainly can't look at that. It's a time to confess. So I'm going to invite Jill forward. And we're going to just have one line, and you'll be able to receive the ashes, and then you'll be able to receive the nail. And one moment, can't talk while I carry that. And I would love for us to go out, I think because she's going to be the second, so you can stop here and then go there and then go out that side aisle. That way we don't have a traffic jam. So all are invited to receive the ashes to remember where we came from. Dust you came, and to dust you shall return, Nancy. Brian, from dust you came, and to dust you shall return. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. You came, and to dust you shall return. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. Shall return. As we respond contemplatively, I want to invite you to stand. We're going to sing together the closing hymn, hymn 753 in the purple hymnal, Just As I Am. So let's go from this place, remembering who we are, marked. Receive now the benediction. And I want specifically you to hear these words. So receive the benediction. Go as those marked as God's beloved. Look at those you meet and eat soup with. And remember that each one here and in the world is God's beloved. Go remembering that our days on earth are numbered. Go noticing the shadows this Lent. And remember the only thing that differentiates us from dust is the breath of God. From dust we came, and to dust we shall return. Let's go in peace. Amen. You're now invited to come and join us at a soup supper.